Okie dokie. All righty. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yay. Okay. So you heard our new song, Portrait Mode, the music video. I came up with the idea for this song because there's a story in India called The Princess of Kashi, which I've told before. And we also made a music video that's an animated story of The Princess of Kashi that you could watch on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, lisacoffee.com. And basically, you know, it's about, the story is about how we don't really see ourselves. We don't really know ourselves. We can spend a lot of time looking in the mirror and not even recognize ourselves. And part of the problem is that we're always looking for validation and joy and happiness and truth outside of ourselves. And when we start looking in, that's when we find it. Self-discovery. So our topic today is without a doubt. And what is the opposite of doubt? Faith. Church, faith, everything, certainty, yes. But let's call it faith for today. And in Vedanta, there's all these stories about how Vivekananda was at one time a seeker. Vivekananda is one of the great teachers of Vedanta. And he's the one who brought Vedanta and Hinduism to the West. But when he was a seeker, he asked questions all the time. And he was always asking spiritual people, swamis, leaders of the church, have you seen God? And they're like, well, no, but I know God and I know about God and I know him, but I haven't seen him with my own eyes. No, I haven't seen him with my own eyes. Nobody's seen God with their own eyes, right? And so he's like, you're not the guy for me. You're not the guy for me. And then he came to Ramakrishna. He's like, have you seen God? He's like, I've seen God the same way I see you, right here with my own eyes. And Vivekananda's like, okay, you're the guy. He gave him a lot of faith, a lot of certainty within him that this was the right teacher for him, the right guru for him. So Vivekananda was one of those guys that asked a lot of questions. And a lot of the other students were like, why are you questioning Ramakrishna? He's the master. What he says goes. And he's like, nope, I'm going to question him. And Ramakrishna loved it. He said, this is what I want. Your faith has to come from you, not from what I say. Your faith has to come within you. You have to know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. So he kept asking questions, and he had that conviction. And that's what made him the great person that he grew to be. There's a coexistence of opposites. This is one of the laws of spirit, right? The coexistence of opposites. We know there's doubt, which is the questioning, and then there's faith. And there's love, and there's fear. Course in Miracles said the opposite of love is not hate, it's fear. But it also said when you have those two opposites, they're really the same thing. What it is a continuum that goes like around and then meets again in the middle. So it goes around. You have love, but then what are you afraid of? You're afraid of losing love. You're afraid of being hurt. You're afraid of grief, of heartache. So that's sometimes why we don't open ourselves up to love. We're afraid we're not enough to deserve love. But it's a continuum. And when we, you know, start at fear and we realize that love wipes out all fear, love can overcome everything. Love is the, you know, vitamins that strengthen our spirit, our soul. And it takes a while to learn these lessons. You know, like Pam was saying, little children, they question everything. Little children are really innocent. But we need to grow. And in order to grow, we can't just learn about joy and love and happiness and, you know, and flowers and sunshine and balloons and ice cream. We can't, because the world we live in is this dichotomy, this coexistence of good and bad. And we wouldn't want our little child, you know, if you ask a little child right now, say a three-year-old or something, hey, some man walks up to you and says, I have some puppies to show you. You want to come look in my car? The kid would go, yeah. These things happen to us as adults too. Not that example, but maybe some politician saying, I'm going to cut your taxes and give you health care and you're going to be happy. And you're like, oh, I'll vote for you. No, that's not the way the world works. You have to think, can he do what he says he's going to do? So we teach our kids little by little about the darker side of life to keep them safe. We have to learn what manipulation is and how you manipulate somebody in order not to be manipulated ourselves, right? Which shows that we have this dark and light within us. And in soap operas and in a lot of, you know, old stories and everything, they illustrate this, because it's very hard for people to comprehend two things being true at the same time, right? I am a good person and I am a bad person, right? They can't, what does that mean? So like in soap operas and fairy tales and stuff, they have the evil twin. But that evil twin is just the shadow side of the good guy. And they really have more in common than not. And the idea is you have to merge those two to make a whole person. Nobody is all good and nobody is all bad. Some people are more bad than good. Yes, that's true. And many people are more good than bad. And that's true too. Let's see. So we have to think, what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? What brings out that shadow side in us where we're not so nice, or we're defending ourselves, or we lose our faith, or we have doubts? What are we afraid of? And we have to face that fear. And in my family, the example I always go to is my grandmother on my dad's side. This woman was afraid of escalators. She came from Yugoslavia. This is a story. 19 years old. 19 years old, no education, like very little. Maybe, I don't know what grades they had back then. Yugoslavia was at war. Her mom had remarried and had other kids. She was on her own. She was working as a waitress at some restaurant, and the owners of the restaurant really liked her, and they said, we want you to marry our son. And she's like, okay. It's like, well, the only problem is he's not here in Yugoslavia. This is when it was Yugoslavia back in the day, 1920s, 1910s actually. And they said, he's in the USA, so we'll send you over there to marry him. 19-year-old girl with a loaf of bread and some pocket change gets on a boat by herself, goes across the ocean, gets to Ellis Island, checks in, gets on a train, goes all across the country herself, knowing nobody, not knowing the language, nothing. To me, that is a very brave person. That took a lot of guts, you know? And I like to think I got some of that bravery from her. Now that I'm moving to Australia, of course, it's a lot easier for me to get on a plane with a family over there, right, than it was for her to come totally change her life and have to change everything, totally change everything. But yet, my grandma was afraid of escalators. Her whole life, she would not get on an escalator. She wouldn't drive. She was like, I am not driving. So her whole life, she just walked everywhere, or my grandpa drove her everywhere. But two things can be true at the same time. She's a very brave woman, but she was afraid of escalators. Okay. Sometimes knowing who you are starts with knowing who you are not. So have you guys heard this story about Leonardo da Vinci? This is a true story. When he was painting probably one of the most famous paintings in the world, The Last Supper, he decided that he wanted to use real models. He didn't want to just make up the characters in his mind. So he sought out to look for people in Italy, where he was, that represented to him in their character, in their demeanor, each of the apostles and Jesus. And he came across this guy almost right away. It took him 10 years to actually paint this painting and find all the people that he wanted. 10 years. But one of the guys he found early on was Jesus. And he's like, this guy's good and holy. He's got his act together. He's like, he's got that vibe. I want to paint him as Jesus. So that's how he painted him in. So eventually over the years, he found the people one by one by one by one. And then it took him a long time. He couldn't find Judas. He's like, I don't know. Nobody's right for it. And then finally one day he's walking on the street and he sees a guy who's like homeless and lost and confused. And he's like, can we talk? You know, and he talks to the guy and he's like, you want a model for this painting? Come with me. I'll give you some money and you can model for this painting. So he's painting this guy as Judas. And in the middle of the painting session, the guy breaks down in tears and cries and cries and cries. And Leonardo da Vinci says, what is the matter? What are you okay? What's going on? What's going on? He goes, you don't remember me, do you? He says, no, I don't remember you. Why should I remember you? And he says, many years ago, you called me to paint me as Jesus in this painting. And now here I am, and I see how far I've fallen. The same guy. That just goes to show we've got Jesus in us, but we've got Judas in us too. We have everything in this universe. We're all within us. And we need to be smart about it. You know, P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute. We don't want to be that sucker. We want to question. We want to be smart. We want to know what we're doing. We don't want to know what we're getting ourselves into. We want to make good decisions because that's what we have control over in our life. That's our free will, is the decisions we make. So that's why we question everything, so that when we make a decision, we don't have doubts. We have complete certainty. We have that faith. Think back in your memory. Do you remember, it was probably in your childhood, when you learned about lying, what lying is? Do you remember? Maybe not, but you know what I do? I remember it was about in the first grade, and somebody lied. Of course, I believed them because I believed everything everybody said, because I didn't know that there was such a thing as a lie. I thought you only spoke. Why would you say something that wasn't true or right? And then somebody had to tell me, no, that was a lie. And I'm like, what is a lie? Like, people, wait, I mean, they said it on purpose? They didn't like make a mistake. They said it on purpose. They lied. I thought, whoa, this is mind blowing. This changes everything. So I thought, started like, I'm going to try this out for myself. So, you know, I can't remember. It was like innocent things like, oh, yeah, I have a turtle. Yeah, I have a, there's a gnome in our backyard. He lives there, you know, like little childish things like that, you know. But it ate me up inside. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. At some level, I knew it was wrong and I couldn't do it. And I vowed as a little kid never to lie. I vowed. I said, I don't want this sick feeling within me. You know, I know it's wrong. So I can't say I lived up to that my whole life, but I never like intentionally set out to deceive someone ever. And I think, you know, I'm glad about that. I think that's the way we all need to be. But unfortunately, we know, like these politicians, that they consider that their job to set out to deceive us. That they think that's their job. They think they're doing the right thing. So we just need to be careful. This doubting goes way back to Bible days. And you probably remember doubting Thomas in the Bible. Thomas was one of the apostles. And after Jesus died and was resurrected, Thomas said, basically, what did he say? He said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I will not believe. You know, and some people said, how could you not believe? This is Jesus. This is the Lord. This is our Savior. How could you not believe him? But other scholars now say that it was a good thing, that what he was doing wasn't necessarily negative. He was asking for evidence and personal experience. So he was respected for his honesty and his desire for certainty rather than following along with blind faith. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing that he questioned it. And Thomas, interestingly enough, later traveled into the Far East. There's strong connections for him in India, especially in the Kerala region, where he's known as St. Thomas. And there's a saying in the Bible that says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, because that's taking your faith to a whole nother level. So yes, question everything, but when you have faith, have that strong faith and live up to it. Now with AI and everything, it's more important than ever that we question everything. I mean, oh my gosh. And then you hear people saying, endorsing candidates on social media, and then finding out that the candidate paid them for that social media post. I mean, there's just this cycle of how do we maneuver this? How do we do it? And I don't know if there's an answer to that right now, because the world is changing so quickly. I think all we can do is do our best and look into our hearts and find our own faith and go with what we think for ourselves and not with what anyone else says. You know, have that direct experience. Go with someone you trust. Look to the heart to find our faith and feel the connection. because knowledge is the cure for doubt. Knowledge is the cure, and faith is the result. When we know, then we can have faith. Okay. Short prayer. Tell me what I need to know. Show me where I need to go. Give me the seeds I need to sow. Thank you for this chance to grow. And so it is.